Hello Mzansi, welcome to another episode of the Farmers Inside Track podcast. My name is Duncan Masiwa and I'm your host for this episode. We are continuing our series on the South African Wine Industry Professional Body, a program that highlights the skills of hardworking wine industry workers and helps boost their careers, recognizing their vital contributions. Let's have a listen to this interview featuring another move-in shaker in South Africa's wine industry. Hello, South African wine lovers. My name is Duncan Masiwa, and we're back with another episode of the South African Wine Industry Professional Body, pioneered by South Africa Wine. Over the past few weeks, I've been learning about this amazing initiative and how it is set to transform the South African wine industry, and of course, how you can get involved. Now, in this episode, we meet another industry expert who is part of a group of people that are giving their time to upskill and develop role players within the industry. Sandile Mkhwanazi is a dedicated winemaker and viticulturalist with extensive industry experience. His journey began with a BSc degree in viticulture and oenology at the University of Stellenbosch. From 2021 to 2022, he was a bee energy consultant and writer for wine.co.za. He has also managed farms and worked in various winemaking roles, including Vinpro and Groot Constantia. Currently, he lectures in viticulture and oenology at the Elsenburg Agricultural Training Institute, mentoring 60 students. Sandile, welcome. It's definitely amazing chatting with you. I did a summary of your amazing CV. You've done so much in the industry. But first of all, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me, firstly, and I'm grateful to be here. It's been a long, interesting journey. I'm glad I took this decision to study viticulture and oenology, and I'm glad that I'm now in a position to actually transfer skills back to students that will become the future leaders of this industry.
Yeah. If I had to ask you to write your own story about your journey in the wine industry, how would that story read?
I think the start would be pretty hilarious because we were in a career orientation class, and then in my matric, and the teacher asked us, so what are you guys planning on studying next year? And I had just come across this viticulture and oenology thing, which wasn't really a famous thing back in the day. So I stood up and I said, viticulture and oenology. And everyone in the class was like, what is that? I've never heard of that. And then I said, winemaking. And then the reaction from the girls in the class was priceless. So I was like, okay, this is definitely something I should study. I'm getting this type of reaction. So that was a start. And I think also one factor that probably played a very big role is that during that time, it was considered a scarce skill in the Black community. So there was another drive that said, hey, you know, I'll do something that not everyone on an everyday basis would like to do. So, and let me take that ride. And third is because I was going to be far from my parents.
You were running away.
I was running away. We were staying in Tshwane then. And I was like, hey, rather just go down to the Cape and stay in the Cape. And I think that decision came to bite me 2-3 years later because my mom came to work down in Cape Town.
So that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Tell me, I'm sure, you know, over the years, you've had many beautiful and memorable experiences in the wine industry. If you had to select a few, what would they be?
I think the one big one was obviously doing a harvest in Bordeaux. You know, when my friends rave about it, they say, who would have thought this guy would go from coming from a rural area to all the way to being in Bordeaux to make wine for a period of 4 to 5 months? That was definitely the icing on the cake. I still encourage my students to do a harvest overseas. The other one is when we move through the industry and meet a lot of young previously disadvantaged individuals, and you have a conversation in passing with them, and you don't really know the impact that you have on them. It then, I think that's the one thing that killed me when a friend of mine called me and said, "Hey, do you know that one of the guys that we're interviewing here wrote you down as a reference just because you had the conversation with him around wine?"
Oh, I didn't know about that.
And then he was on some podcast in the UK, and he mentioned my name again. I was like, okay, clearly that wasn't a fluke. I really had an impact on his life. And I think for me, changing lives in the industry is the most important thing that I can ever do. Giving my 2 cents of advice based on the experiences that I have, and also just absorbing the diversity that comes with that industry is something that people undermine, but I think that basically places the wine industry as your oyster in your hand, where you can do anything and everything that you want with the different, you know, levels in which you can play a role in the wine industry. So I think changing people's lives and being open to improving their lives has been probably the biggest thing that has happened in my career in the wine industry.
And I suppose, you know, from knowing nothing about the wine industry to now shaping the future of the wine industry in the lecture room where you work with the young minds, I can't imagine that journey has been easy. But what are some of the challenges that you've experienced?
Well, the first one is AI. Because, you know, let's face it, that the current crop of students are tech savvy. Mm. And you might be going on content that you've obviously read and researched about over a period of time, and it just takes a couple of clicks for them to say, "But sir, what we're getting on the net is this." So I think just trying to get the integration of the traditional way of learning with this new tech crowd that's coming into the space has been a bit of a challenge, but one that I accept boldly, because now all of a sudden the teaching learning process becomes a TEDx type of teaching learning process, whereby we are engaging on a subject matter, and in that way the student gets to understand the content much more better. I think back when I was at university, I think one of my physics lecturers, I think Dr. Renze, said to us, if you cannot take scientific phenomena and put it into real life, then you don't have to be in this class. Because we want you guys to go out there and solve problems. And some of these problems will need you to have a critical way of thinking, because only then will you be able to solve those problems. So we try to make sure that by the time they get out of our classroom, they hit the ground running and they know exactly how to fit into the industry.
Yeah. What would you say is the most important skill that has brought you this far?
People skills would be probably a top of the chart, and I'll say why. We graduate with an expectation that we'll, you know, get this big fat salary, I'll be issuing out instructions to people, move this way, move that way, move this way in the cellar. My first harvest job was at Spear. I worked with Johan Jordan and with Godfrey Singo, who was the assistant my winemaker at that point in time. And the one thing that Johan said to me was that, "Sandile, I cannot let you go by without cleaning the floors, without rolling a barrel, without emptying a tank, because these are instructions that you have to give to someone at some point in time. The least that can happen is that you know exactly what it is that you want these people to do." And not only that, he then added one dimension that I think a lot of people tend to miss. He said, all these farm workers that you have in this cellar, combined, they have over 100 years of experience in the wine industry. No degree. But they've been in this industry. They know this industry in and out. Get as much knowledge from them as you possibly can. Have lunch with them. Do not put yourself high just because you're a graduate. Try to get as much knowledge from them as possible, because in the winemaking sport, it's a team effort. If you base things on assumption and not because you interact with people, you might find yourself making the most horrible wine with the most greatest grapes that you can ever get. So that was something that said, okay, for me to get any way in this industry, I have to know the people I work with. I have to know the team that I'm with in this space, because I am as good as my team. I am as good as being part of that team. And I have to obviously contribute into making sure that we achieve the goal that we need to achieve within that space of the whether it be the cellar or be in the vineyard. So it's a team sport.
You're definitely on the money there when it comes to about the wine industry being all about teamwork. And I suppose that is exactly what Sawup is doing, understanding and recognizing the importance of teamwork. And you then also playing a role there. Take us through what your role is in the committee at Sawup.
So I'm in the primary production council, and it focuses a lot on the raw material, getting the raw material that gives us this jewel that we consider to be wine. So it focuses a lot on the farm worker. It focuses a lot on the viticultural section, because the viticulture part is where we get our crop. And obviously upskilling people within that space so that they actually can have a skill set that can be recognized by the industry and obviously recognized by the by everyone within the winemaking space. So I think the role that we really playing there is to make sure that there's a quantification framework that is linked or conjoined to the skill sets that people have. Now, if you think of the history of the wine industry and how long it dates back, there are people that have been, just like I mentioned, in the industry for over 5, 10, 15 years without a qualification, but they have this prior learning, which is a skill set that they actually got to learn in the center. How does one quantify that? How does one put value into that so that even when this person walks in the cellar, he holds his head up high to know that with the experience that I have, I can equate it to a certain education level, which then will empower me not to just be in the same cellar for the next 20 years, but obviously to move over to another cellar where I can better my career and actually go for greener pastures. So it breaks down that barrier of people saying, you know, this is the only cellar I've known for the past 10 years. I can't go to another cellar. It gives them an opportunity to say, hey, the wine industry is wide. Why let me not try and get a job in a different cellar and see how that can add value to the already skill set that I have and to the experience that I currently have. So I think that just creating that platform where you're leveling things up for everyone. And not only because you're leveling things up, it also then links to the remuneration. Mm-hmm. Because now, all of a sudden, a person who has been considered for a long period of time to be a general worker is not just a general worker. He's a general worker with his skill set and experience linked to a qualification, which I think will definitely empower people going forward.
It's definitely groundbreaking work, and I'm excited to see and hear some of the success stories that comes from it. But, you know, if I had to ask you, what about Sawup made you raise your hand and say, you know, this is something that I want to be a part of and use my skills and volunteer my time and expertise?
So I think Sawup ticked a lot of boxes, and especially when it comes to upliftment, skills and development, teaching and learning, which is a space that initially I never thought I would be in. But when I saw that there's a platform within the industry to empower our people in terms of skill set, in terms of development, I was like, I would like to play a part in that with the little experience that I have, and with the vast people that I've met within the industry, I felt that chances are I can, you know, put a token in that will just maybe change one's life and actually better one's life in the industry. And also, it's just a system in which you pay forward. Mm. I'm where I am because someone believed in me. So why wouldn't I want to extend the same to someone else?
Yeah, you know, talking about that, the impact that it has on the lives of people that work in the industry.
Yeah.
Sort of giving your time and your expertise, how do you see that contributing to the wine industry as a whole going forward?
I think what is much more important for me is professionalization. Mm. When you can, the day we consider a general worker in a farm as a profession, The day we give hope to someone who says, I have been on this farm for the past 10 years. I have a piece of paper that I can look up to and say, for the past 10 years of being in this farm, this is what I came out with. Experience is fine and fantastic. That's word of mouth. If one says they worked at my farm, and if I don't get the call to be a reference for that, then unfortunately it's just their word against mine.
Yeah.
But if there's a piece of paper that says, this person has the experience, has the skill set, they have been evaluated in line with their skill set to make sure that they have this qualification, that for me is everything. As long as we can get that, then we're definitely good. Yeah.
It's definitely powerful what it means for people that have been working in the industry for 10, 15 years, yeah, but they were never able to go and study.
Yeah.
And finally, here is the structure that allows them to have that kind of qualification.
Definitely.
If I had to talk to you about industry challenges, what would you say are some of the key challenges that the wine industry, maybe looking at primary production specifically, that the industry is facing? And how do you see those challenges sort of evolving over the years?
So I think the biggest thing that we tend to want to move towards is efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say efficiency, is saying producing in the most efficient way, cost-effective way, because it's what I say to my students, that if you are not going to save the farmer any money in any way, it becomes a problem why he should be hiring you, because you are now going to be an extra cost to him. But if you come with ways and innovations that will make sure that he can save money. So if you look at it from the general worker point of view, managed farms, and where I've managed farms, you set a platform where you say the workers can talk to you about the work that they do on the farm. And once workers move from saying, a farm manager saying jump, and they say how, by saying why should I jump, that is the important part, because that is now creating a platform for learning. Because now he's not just spraying just because you said he should spray.
What?
He's spraying because he understands that there's a need to spray every 2 weeks, because the efficacy of this pesticide or whatever it is that you're spraying is going to be seen in the vineyard, and then give a assurance to the farmer that he will have the right crop. So once we start getting workers that start questioning why, that is actually something that we need. So not everyone accepts that challenge, because it's more like it's an instruction, just do it. But the moment we realize that is a learning opportunity for the worker, the moment we embrace that, I think the industry will be untouchable, because then all of a sudden you'll find that the guy who just came in here as a general worker is empowered in his thought process. He now thinks before he takes an action, and the quality of work that then he puts forward is going to be exceptional, because he will now know why he actually does it, than for him just to do it for the sake of just doing it. So that will be the first one. The second one, we do not embrace our diversity. I think that's a powerful tool that we have there. The fact that we're in a country with 11 languages, and we should embrace that. We should know that is the country that we live in. Not only will it be beneficial, but then it increases the pool of labor, the force that we can attract into the industry, instead of us just being limited to the Western Cape. I never grew up in the Western Cape, but I was attracted to the Western Cape. Therefore, any other person that comes after me will say, hey, if he can make it in the Western Cape, if he can make it in the wine industry, then definitely I can.
Yeah.
I think we need to really grapple with that. And the third part is that women are coming to the fore. We should embrace it. Women are coming to the fore, and women are putting their hand up to say, we can do it. And it's in a predominantly male industry, so we need to crack that door open and say, women are here, and they are equally as good as we are. And
not
nature,
better.
If not better. I was about to say that. If not better. And we have to embrace it, and we have to move with that.
Mm-hmm.
So embrace women. Let workers question why. And then, you know, try to be as efficient as possible, because then we then start saving. Because with the whole ESCOM and all of those things happening around it, it says to us, this is an opportunity for us to be much more efficient in how we actually do our work.
You know, someone's listening to this or watching and they're inspired by how you contribute to the sustainability of the industry, and they want to do what you do. What's your message to them?
Thick skin. Thick skin. Not because the industry is a tough industry. No, every industry is a tough industry, but thick skin because people with character survive in the wine industry.
Mm.
When I graduated, and my best salary was, I won't mention it, but it was, I was like, really? 2 years of studying so hard to get a degree. And I have my friends who are engineers, and my best salary is, and I told my mom, she's like, hey, but dude, that's what you chose. You were there for 4 years. That's what you deal with. But then this should be an element of trusting the process. You know, in the wine industry, there are no fly-by-nights. You aim your straps. You do the hours. You taste the wines. You go through hundreds and hundreds of wines to, you know, build up that knowledge that you then have, which then becomes a reference for yourself. Not only that, you meet great people who have been here for a longer period than you are, and they obviously empower you. And I think from a technology or knowledge transfer point of view, that is just a tool that not many industries have. You know, we have the power of having 20 bottles of wine from 20 wine farms and engaging on them and going in detail with the viticultural aspects, with the winemaking techniques, with the wood regime, you know, and all of a sudden it's not just 20 bottles of wine, it's 20 winemaking styles, it's 20 viticultural practices, it's 20 soil types, it's 20 cultivars. It's broad. It then empowers you, because all of a sudden you say, I never really thought about Cabernet Franc in this way, but after having a conversation with the winemaker at Warwick or with the winemaker from a specific farm, I'm starting to look at this grape differently. So you then walk away with a lot of value by just engaging with the people that we have in the industry.
Yeah. Looking ahead, what does the future of South Africa's wine industry look like? Maybe looking at it at a perspective from primary production, but also the young minds that are coming into the space.
We have a great future ahead of us. I'm fortunate that I'm working in a think tank type of setup where I'm seeing the faces that will come through in the future, and I listen to their questions, and I listen to the approach. They rough diamonds, but they need to be polished. And we then hope that when they get into the industry, they'll land into the right hands that will polish them and make sure that this future is good. The wine industry has unlimited potential to go really far. If you're looking at from a primary production point of view, we have a lot of lessons to learn from the old wine regions, from the new world regions, from the old guys that have been in the industry. There's a lot that needs to be learned. There's a lot that needs to be still implemented so that we know that we actually have a sustainable wine industry. And I think the one thing that I would like to push more is to get more South Africans drinking South African wine, to get to a point where what wine is for the guys in France is for us here, for every individual. If I'm going for lunch at Spur, let me have a glass of wine. If I'm going for dinner somewhere, let me have a glass of wine. If I'm celebrating somewhere, let me have a MCC from Grandbank or from Lude. We need to get to a point where, as South Africans, we appreciate the sunshine that we have that's expressed on our wines, the long summers that we have that's expressed on our wines, the hard work that the viticultural workers go through when they are pruning, when they are canopy managing, when they're doing all of that, because all of that is expressed in just one bottle of wine. And I hope that we will embrace that and actually share it with all South Africans.
On that beautiful note, there you have it. Sandile Mkhwanazi, lecturer in viticulture and oenology at the Elsenburg Agricultural Training Institute. The sustainability of the wine industry is not just about vineyards and the environment, but also about recognizing and investing in the human capital that drives it. This initiative aims to enhance the skills, the knowledge, and professional growth of those working within the industry, ultimately ensuring a thriving and sustainable future. Now, where there's wine, there's definitely an enormous amount of progressive thinking. So So stay tuned as we delve deeper into this exciting journey. And that's a wrap. Join me again next time as we dive deep into the South African wine industry professional body. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss any of our episodes. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, thanks for listening.